Thanks. So, as she said, I'll be speaking on the lack of Pythium aphanadromatum transmission by adult fungus gnats. And this work was done in collaboration with John Sanderson in the Department of Entomology at Cornell, as well as Eric Nelson and Marjorie Daughtry in the Department of Plant Pathology there, and Stephen Wright at the USDA ARS branch in Ithaca, New York. So first, I'd just like to start out with some characteristics of fungus gnats. In the bottom right-hand corner here, you can see a movie of a larval fungus gnat that is actually tunneling inside of an impatiens leaf. So these organisms are particularly problematic in greenhouses. And the adults are small, slow flyers. They only get to be about 2.5 millimeters long. And in terms of identification, they have a diagnostic Y in their vein pattern, as you can see in the upper right-hand corner here. And they're abundant in greenhouses. However, unfortunately, there's very little known about these organisms in terms of their biology. For example, in 1966, Stefan pointed out that they feed on organic ooze. So we have a long way to go in terms of actually understanding how these organisms are operating in the greenhouse setting and just their basic biology. And they can cause direct damage to plants. And here in the bottom left-hand corner, you can see the red arrow pointing where larval fungus gnats have fed and completely severed the root hair of a vinca plant. So just in terms of the basic life cycle of fungus gnats, they can be particularly problematic because they can have overlapping generations in the greenhouse. So on the left-hand side here, an adult fungus gnat can live for as long as 8 to 10 days, with the females laying as many as several hundred eggs during that time period. The eggs take about 4 to 6 days to hatch, and then you have four larval stages that can last as much as 12 to 14 days in duration, with the larger stages causing more damage than the younger ones, and the length of the larval stages varying dependent on the temperature and other environmental conditions in the greenhouse. And then there's the pupal stage that will last approximately 4 to 6 days, and then going back to the adult. And on the right-hand side here, you can see an image where in the right-hand side of the picture, there were no fungus gnats feeding on the plant. And on the left-hand side, there were fungus gnats. So the root structure is not as well developed when you have the fungus gnat feeding. And so for a long time, fungus gnats have been stated to be in association with plant pathogens. So for example, in growers' magazines such as Greenhouse Management and Production, there's statements such as fungus gnats and shore flies can spread costly plant disease pathogens. However, there's not been a lot of experimental evidence to date of fungus gnat association with plant pathogens. In terms of fungus gnat adults and plant pathogen transmission, there are a few genera in which fungus gnats have been shown to be associated with plant pathogens. So for example, there are a few Fusarium species, also Philebiopsis, and Verticillium. And interestingly to note, all of these plant pathogens have some type of aerial dispersal stage. And however, Pythium aphanadromatum is also an extremely important plant pathogen in the greenhouse setting, and it can cause problems in terms of plant quality, getting smaller plants, and also in terms of mortality due to root rot. And within grower circles, it's also been stated that fungus gnats are able to transmit Pythium aphanadromatum. However, there are no studies that actually demonstrate that this is the case. So just a little bit of background information on this particular pathogen. It's an oomycete that is abundant in warm regions and in greenhouses. And it has a wide host range and also quite a complex life cycle, as you can see on the right-hand image here. And it can survive in the soil as oospores, hyphae, and sporangia. So there are multiple stages of the pathogen that can be particularly problematic for growers. And lastly, it can cause damping off, root and stem rots, and blights. So the question that I really wanted to address is, do fungus gnats adults play a role in Pythium species transmission? And it's really kind of a chicken and egg kind of question. And as Graham Murphy really appropriately pointed out, he said, so what comes first, the fungus gnats or the root rots? And it's really kind of a black box type system, because you have the fungus gnats larvae that are feeding in the soil. You have the Pythium that is in the soil. The adults are flying around right around the soil surface. And so it's really a difficult question to tease apart as to what's going on with the fungus gnats and the Pythium. Do they have any kind of association with one another? So in a series of laboratory experiments, here being the first one, looked at, can adults serve as aerial vectors of Pythium? So in this experiment had three different containers, the first of which, on the left-hand side, placed two 11-day-old infected geranium plants, and opposite of those two infected plants, placed two healthy plants, and then 10 adult gnats into the container. And then in the middle compartment here, I had four healthy plants and 10 adult fungus gnats. So these fungus gnats were taken from a colony and wanted to see whether, if there was any kind of contamination, whether we would see any of those plants getting infected. And lastly, on the right-hand side, had two infected plants and two healthy plants. So is it possible to see the healthy plants being infected without fungus gnat adults being present in the system? So the adult gnats were left in there until they died, and we found no infection of any of the healthy plants in any treatment after 7 days. So this kind of led to the question, can the adults pick up Pythium at all? Are they capable of doing that? So here in another laboratory experiment, on the left-hand side, I had a Pythium aphanogermatum culture plate, and I took an adult fungus gnat and manually dragged the fungus gnat around the circumference of the culture plate by its wings with forceps. And then subsequently either put the fungus gnat, immersed the fungus gnat in solidifying water agar, or allowed an adult fungus gnat to fly around on an already solidified water agar plate. And what we found was that 11% of the plates in which the fungus gnats were placed in the solidifying water agar eventually formed Pythium colonies. However, in the case in which the fungus gnat adults were allowed to fly around in the containers, only 1% of these plates formed Pythium colonies. So in the greenhouse, the fungus gnats will be flying around. It's likely that they will be, if they do pick up the oomycetal material, that it may be knocked off, as exhibited by this. So in a third experiment, looked at whether adults can serve as aerial vectors of Pythium in a little more, having kind of stacking the decks and having many more infected plants in the system. So with the control, had 35 healthy plants and put it in a container with soil, and put the healthy plants in there with 50 female fungus gnats, allowed for 24 hours exposure of the fungus gnats to the plants, and then either subsequently placed the fungus gnats in water agar again, immersed them in it, or 20 fungus gnats with healthy plants. And for my treatment, same setup, except with 35 infected plants for a 24-hour exposure, and then subsequently plated the 10 fungus gnats, and 20 fungus gnats were placed with healthy plants to see whether they would become infected. And what we found was that none of the seedlings became infected, and no Pythium colonies formed in the agar dishes. So from these experiments, we can show that through multiple lines of evidence with extensive replication, that we failed to demonstrate that adult fungus gnats are effective aerial vectors of Pythium aphanogermatum. So in terms of further studies, I'd like to look at whether a fungus gnat larvae are playing any kind of role in Pythium species transmission. And secondly, does transstadial transmission, so for example, the larva to pupa to adult fungus gnats, does the transstadial transmission of Pythium oospores play any kind of role in the pathogen's dissemination between plants? So the oospores are a more hardy stage of the oomycete, and so may be able to survive better in the fungus gnat. And we're going to be looking also using molecular techniques to determine whether the different stages have the oomycete associated with it. So lastly, I'd just like to acknowledge some funding sources, the USDA Florist and Nursery Research Initiative, as well as an NSF graduate research fellowship that I have. And I'd be happy to take any questions that anyone has. Going to look at whether there is whether the oospores will still survive from the larval to pupal to adult stages. It's also possible that Pythium can come in with irrigation, and so the fungus gnats might be the larvae might feed on the oospores and then deposit them closer to the plant roots, for example, to provide a more effective means for them to just since the fungus gnat larvae are feeding on the plant roots. Maybe depositing the oospores right in the vicinity of where infection might take place.
So have you presented this to any grower groups yet, and what has their response been?
No, I haven't yet, but it's an interesting question. She said, have I presented this to any grower groups? And it's interesting because the fungus gnats have been shown to transmit some plant pathogens, but it presents an interesting question. How do you manage if they're not transmitting Pythium? You still will want to have effective means of controlling fungus gnats because they're a problem as well, and if they're still transmitting other pathogens too. So
okay, thank you very much.